Welcome, everybody, to another Stand Up podcast. My name is Wilmer Ferreira, COO of the Outcomes franchises at Stand Up Asset Management. Today, I'm talking to Rademer Vermaak, Head of Systematic Solutions at Stand Up. Rademer, it's been a quarter that you can use quite a couple of words for. It's interesting, nerve-wracking, volatile, uncertain. And that clearly also played out in the SA equity markets with some fairly large moves happening in our market. Quickly give us some insight into what has happened from a sector and a single stock perspective in the SA market year to date.
Yeah, I think the one word I would use for the first quarter, and I guess the first couple of weeks of April, is that it's been a properly wild one. I think what it showed again is that it is impossible to predict what politicians will do, and we've seen that with President Trump in the US and in South Africa with the VAT hike and the Government of National Unity and the postponement of the budget. So I think if we were to dissect the performance of what drove the SA equity market in Q1, I'd probably bucket it into three main drivers. The first one was international geopolitics. And there, I guess, the entire world, but South Africa in particular, reacted to the Trump administration's talk of a new tariff regime, which was obviously announced just after the end of the quarter, as well as the moves by the Chinese authorities to support the Chinese economy and reaffirm its GDP growth target of 5%. I think the second big driver was local politics. You know, the delay and the dispute around the South African budget, which included a potential VAT increase, has put strains on the Government of National Unity and some uncertainty about how that looks going forward. And I think the third main driver in the SA market was really some sector-specific regulatory changes that supported the performance of the telecommunications segment in particular. So maybe just to put some numbers on that, the CAPTSWIX was up a modest 5.8% over the quarter. But if you look within, it was a widely disparate outcome, with the communications and the materials sector up strongly, communications up 17%, and the materials sector up 14%. And then the consumer discretionary sector was down 14%. And even within the material sector, there were a wide range of outcomes, with diversified miners down 7%, the platinum group miners up 36%, and gold miners up an astonishing 62%. The gold stocks followed the gold price, which is up significantly based on the fears of investors, partly related to Trump and tariff concerns, and also concerns about lower world GDP growth. Diversified miners were negatively impacted by the recognition that I think the Chinese real estate sector will not be the engine or even the focus of the Chinese government stimulus. And then the platinum group miners were a little bit more difficult to explain, you know, given that the platinum price hasn't really moved, but the stocks were up based on expectations around internal combustion engine-friendly policies in the USA, the fact that battery electric vehicles haven't sold as much as expected, and that hybrids are actually selling more. So there is still some demand for the platinum group metals. Just thinking about the communication sector, MTN was up 34%. It has in particularly benefited from regulatory approval in Nigeria that allows MTN to increase its rates by 50% to its customers, and which obviously materially changes its earnings prospects. And then the other sector that was really lagging over the quarter was the consumer discretionary sector. And obviously Richmond sits in that. But if you take Richmond out, this sector really talks to the discretionary spend prospects of South African consumers. And the fact that the market was down, or the sector was down so much, 14% over the quarter, is really reflecting evidence that the South African consumer remains under significant financial pressure. You know, the two-pot system isn't going to bolster consumer spending. The Government of National Unity isn't going to affect short and quick wins for consumers. And obviously, the VAT increase dragging on the ability of South African consumers to spend. So, yeah, no, it's been a pretty wild quarter.
Yeah, Rodimer, when you mention those moves, they are very, very large moves. And if you think about what drives markets, it's essentially humans driving markets. And humans are, in times of uncertainty, very driven by emotion. So you can almost say it's an emotion-driven market. If you look back at the history of the Stanlip Enhanced Multi-Style Fund, we had similar periods of such, let's call it emotion-filled markets. And what has the fund done subsequent to those emotions changing to more rational behavior?
Yeah, Vimal, I think if there's anything that this quarter showed us again in terms of being the custodian and investor of client assets, is that in times like these, you should absolutely trust your investment process and philosophy. You should be meticulous in your risk management. And you should keep emotions out of your investment decisions. And I guess a couple of times historically where we've seen similar sort of market environments was in COVID. And if you think back to COVID, like middle of March 2020, the best possible trade you could have done as the market bottomed out in COVID was to buy US tech stocks. The second best thing you could have done was nothing. And I think that really speaks to the ability to control your emotions. And you know, the Stanlip Enhanced Multi-Style Fund invests for the long term. It's not a trading mindset. And we would expect to outperform in most market cycles where there's a broad market participation and where company fundamentals are the key drivers. And we would expect to underperform in short, sharp periods, such as COVID and such what we're seeing now, when the market is really driven by sentiment and fundamentals aren't rewarded. You know, these short-term periods tend to occur when either there's extreme optimism or pessimism that dominates investor sentiment, and when the market becomes more focused on the short-term prospects than the medium to long-term fundamental drivers and fundamental trends. But you know what? We're not at all concerned by short-term underperformance driven by sentiment, because we understand our investment process and how that will switch if and when the fundamentals start to indicate that the short-term sentiment are developing into long-term structural trends.
Yeah, Rodimer, you mentioned risk management as a custodian of assets. And I thought about, especially within your process, neutralizing macro risk and how the past quarter has been a great example around if you neutralize the macro risk in an equity fund, you take away some of the unintended consequences of a certain position. So maybe just give the audience some insight into how you neutralize macro risk, an example of how the neutralization has helped you the last quarter.
So in our view, it is almost impossible to forecast the big macro drivers affecting the stock market. So it's impossible to forecast what the Rand is going to do. It's impossible to forecast what the gold price is going to do. So we stick to where we have an advantage and an edge on the market, and that is in our stock selection and our portfolio construction. And we therefore neutralize the effect of these big macro events and big macro drivers on our portfolio. The way we do that, and I'm going to use gold as an example, is that our benchmark, the CAPSWIX, has a certain number of gold stocks in it. And so if the gold price spikes and rallies as it's doing at the moment, obviously the gold counters in the market or in the benchmark are going to perform strongly. Even if all the gold stocks potentially have some negative fundamentals, if you only looked at the fundamentals of the stocks, you would be underweight the gold counters. But because we neutralize the macroeconomic risk, because we neutralize that gold exposure, we buy the best gold counters in the market. So the gold counters that have the best potential growth prospects, the highest quality, and the best valuations. And that has actually meant that we've been significantly overweight Harmony and underweight some of the other gold counters. And that has neutralized our gold exposure. But it's been a fantastic stock selection story, because Harmony has been shooting the lights out relative to the other gold counters in the market. So the macro neutralization has really protected the portfolio in this quarter from that perspective.
Yeah, I saw an interesting stat earlier this week around the gold miner representation in the cap swicks. If you go back to 2023, they were at less than 5%. Today, they're sitting at close to 15%. And if you didn't neutralize for that risk, you would have missed out, which I think is the exact reason why you're doing what you're doing. Rodimer, I want to change a bit to what has changed in the portfolio over the last quarter. So what's been the most significant single stock or sector changes quarter on quarter?
So Bema, from a portfolio trading perspective, we have bought a little bit more industrial stocks and financial stocks over the quarter. And we sold some material stocks, obviously those diversified miners in the platinum group metals. We also closed some of our overweight in the consumer discretionary, and we sold some consumer staples stocks from a sector perspective. If you look at the stock changes, we actually bought into Absa, Capitec, and Discovery. And we also bought a little bit more of Harmony Gold. And then we sold off Investec, Standard Bank, and Nepi Rockcastle.
Great, Rodimer. I want to end off with your three biggest overweights at the moment, and just give the listeners a bit of insight into why you are overweight those three counters.
So, Vima, we are currently overweight. The three biggest overweights are in Harmony Gold, Clicks, and Capitec. So if we focus on Harmony, you know, it has really benefited from both top-down record gold prices and bottom-up factors in the fact that Harmony is busy mining higher grades of gold ore, resulting in better cost per unit. And that has elevated certain of Harmony's quality and growth metrics. So from a quality perspective, Harmony's ROE of 31% is the highest return on equity in the material sector, and it's actually the fourth best return on equity in the market that we look at. Harmony's earnings quality is materially above average as well, so it's generating a lot of cash. And you know, we've seen analysts revise Harmony's earnings prospects upwards. It's pretty cheap, you know, still trading at a forward PE multiple of 8.6, and the reality is that Harmony has really been bolstering its balance sheet, and it's now got a positive, large positive cash position on its balance sheet. And we haven't seen gold counters without any debt on their balance sheet for a very long time. If we turn to Clicks, you know, Clicks is the highest quality company in the SA market. It is pretty expensive with a forward price earnings multiple of 23. So it's quality at a price. But as we've seen with the latest results that came out last week, you know, the company has grown its profit after tax by 1.4 billion rand. That's 13% year on year. Their revenue has grown by 6% over year on year. Their turnover is at 6.5%. So they're growing nicely at higher than inflation rates. And you know, it's a properly well-run company with the cookie cutter model, and they've been able to grow their number of stores by 4.7% year on year. And then looking at Capitec is a high-quality bank. It used to be one of the most expensive banks in the world. It's still pretty expensive with the forward PE of 22. But the reality of Capitec is that it really is being priced more like a fintech platform type business. You know, they have really evolved from being a pure banking model to really offering clients a wide range of products on its platform and diversifying its revenue streams. And it's really scoring very highly from a growth perspective. And that's why it's one of our biggest overweights.
Rodimer, thank you very much for that insight. I guess my takeaway there is, even if we're concerned around GNU and SA growth outlook, there are still companies in South Africa that are well-run, got good growth prospects, that are worth investing in. With that, I want to thank you, Rodimer, for joining us. I want to thank the listeners for tuning in and listening to us. And please reach out to your Standard representative if you've got any questions. With that, chat to you next time. Goodbye.